cutting-edge research at PenVet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full-service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Second half on this Breeders' Cup week Thursday, and now within 25 hours, because, of course, there's a, I think, 11:55 post for the first tomorrow. And Tom Law joining us, and this is horseracing.com, Saratoga Special, NYFA, HBPA Horseman's Journal, Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred, does all of that and more. Good morning.
Morning. Great to be here. Good to see you guys after seeing you last night. At,
really nice, by the way. Well done. Well done by everybody.
62nd annual.
It was very good.
Yeah, it was great fun.
I got us. We've all been to these banquet things before.
Yeah. And,
but the second one for me, that moves right along. I mean, boom, boom, boom. You can eat while you're doing presentations. It really had a smooth feel to it. So Thank you.
I guess it's taken a while. I feel like, you know, when I was president of the Turf Riders way back when, this is kind of my second tour of duty, but it felt like a much longer night way back when. You know, I mean, Lauren Hebel Osborne, who kind of puts the whole dinner together, she handles everything related to all the dinner and the catering and all that. So that really helps me to kind of like, okay, let me put the program together. Who can speak first? Who can, you know, and then we had people that couldn't show up. So you're constantly adjusting the schedule, you know, and you're really trying to get it so you have kind of the signature people kind of at the end. You know, we had Chris Lincoln, of course, at the end, and Steve introduced him, and it was great. So it was, I killed two birds with one stone with Steve winning last year and unable to attend. You were in his stead last year. It was great, and I'm glad to have you back. You're a regular
hammer.
You got to come every year now. You're two in a row. Keep going.
I enjoyed it. I explained in my little talk last year that I was taught early by Bob Humphrey.
Mm-hmm.
when I first started working up in Golden Gay Fields, and I would sit there, and Dale Omanson, who was the Northern California former, he would come in his office every day and sit there and ask him, what do you got for me, Bob? What do you got? And he would say, go interview this guy. He's got a new owner. Go.
Yep.
And I go in, and I said, how do you take it? And every day he got up, he shut the door, and he said, listen, it's the press. They're never going away.
Yeah.
So be nice to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, okay. And I've ever since then, you know, I've got plenty of friends that work for the press. And knock on wood, I, you know, yeah. I've never been, you know, bad-mouthed right. in the press or, you know, taking something wrong. And I was telling Steve the same way. You know, when you get interviewed and they come by and, you know, they always want to comment, you give them a comment. And if they want to talk a little bit longer, you talk a little bit longer. Then when the story comes out, it didn't come out the way mm-hmm. you thought. It's not their fault. It's right. your fault for not delivering the message right. So, anyway, I appreciate that. And
yeah.
and a bunch of good guys and girls in there, women in there, and it's a good show.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, it was great fun. You know, I'm happy to do it every year. And here we go. You know, it's next year off to Santa Anita.
back to the West Coast. Tom, give us, let's get into this. Get some opinions, some of your best thoughts starting Friday.
Whew. Yeah, I do terrible at the Breeders' Cup every year, but
well, now let's move on to Jay Fribben then. Thanks, Tom. Thanks. Good to see you.
No, I've made some scores though over the years, and really all you need is kind of one.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, you gotta come out firing. Juvenile Turf Sprint. I was here for the Indian Summer, so I'm Private Creed. You know, Asmussen, kind of against the grain. He's a dirt. Classic colt dirt trainer, but hey, he's a turf sprinter trainer too. I mean, 12-1 Rosario.
Yep,
horses run over
lots
the course.
Like.
Lots to like there.
I agree.
You know, and then you know, I like. You know, I'm always a big fan of horses that have run well at the track. So you know, Wonder Wheel for me. I was, you know, again, I was here for opening weekend at Keeneland, so I saw all the races. Hmm. You know, 5-1 on her is generous. I doubt she'll be that price. I mean.
I think she will be. I think people are cooling. I think people are dubious.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I like a couple other prices in there too, though. You're My Girl and Leave No Trace. I mean, I guess I'm showing my New York,
both
East Coast bias in there. But you know, spent a little time this morning with my man Phil Serpy, so that was a
smiling
lot of fun.
Phil.
Oh yeah, he's getting it done. You know, having a good time. And then onto the Juvenile Phillies Turf. You know. Shigera, am I pronouncing it right?
Shigera,
Bill
yes.
Bauer's wow. Philly that ran great up at Saratoga. You know, really impressed. I remember seeing her that day and thinking, I like her, and I'm a big Be Your Best fan. I'm a Horacio De Paz is a good dude.
He's tough.
Yeah,
tough.
Good trainer, sharp guy. And then, you know, the Juvenile, you got, you know, I'm taking a stand, I guess, against Cave Rock.
Wow.
I'm gonna go Forte and Blazing Sevens. I'm going to two top trainers in New York with their, you know, with their best colts that they're firing in there with Todd and Chad. And then, you know, of course, I haven't mentioned European yet. So, you know, you get by the time you get to the Juvenile Turf, you know, you cannot discount Aiden O'Brien. You certainly cannot discount Charlie Appleby. So, you know, I picked those two on top. Silver Knot, Victoria Road, and, you know, a little rooting interest in the Catman with And the Winner Is. Ran a good race here. You know, I thought he ran a pretty credible race at Saratoga.
100%. And yeah. I, as I mentioned this morning, and like David Aragona actually tweeted about how when he made his final picks, he surprised himself with some horses he didn't expect to. I picked And the Winner Is tomorrow, and I never expected to do that. I went And the Winner Is, Silver Knot, and then I feathered in three prices, Mustache, Major Dude, and Really Good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There you go. How about Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday. You know, I've always been a big CeCe fan. I don't know if that's because my girlfriend's name is CeCe.
Oh, my God.
Spelled a little differently, but, you know, big fan of hers. You know, Saratoga's maybe not her forte, but I like Obligatory and Wicked Halo as well. I mean, Wicked Halo coming back on the short turnaround. Obligatory, of course, needs no introduction. Bill Mott, she always shows up in races like this.
4-7-11.
Maybe this is her turn.
Nice.
Yeah, Turf Sprint. A little chalky in here. You know, Golden Palace, his course. It's kind of his deal out here, walking over from his stall. You know, Wesley's gearing up for this all year long. And I like Casa Creed. You know, he's always a fun horse. I love his connections. You know, great guys. Easy to root for. And in the Dirt Mile, a little bit of a price. I like Simplification. I like the rider switch. I like Saez getting on board, inside post, shortening up a little bit. You know, good horse, always kind of right there.
Ran better than it looked in Pennsylvania.
I think so, yeah. I was there. You were there. Yep. I thought it was a good race. And then another horse from the same race, Cyberknife, in there as well. Yep. And Cody's Wish kind of stretching out. And obviously, the story of the year, in my opinion, you know, without a doubt.
297.
You know, really cool story. And then Philly and Mare Turf. I like Moira, the Queen's Plate Philly. Got DQ'd last time out. You know, maybe a bit of a price from the outside. But in Italian, I mean, it can't go against her either. Another filly that's going to be on the lead. I mean, she's stretching out to the mile and 3/16 in here, but she'll be tough, you know, for Chad. Rogier was a filly I saw out there today. Looked great, you know, having seen her a little bit at Saratoga this summer and fall. Looked great out there. Sprint is, you know... I like Jackie's Warrior. He's a cool dude. You know, I picked Aloha West last year, and he won. It was like one of those only long shots you need. He was the one. But, you know, I'm a big Jackie's Warrior fan. But Manny Wah, I'm going to go Catalano. Price. I mean, big price from the inside in there. You got the mile is always a major puzzler for me. But hey, Modern Games, man. I mean, he's a Breeders' Cup winner.
Got it.
Appleby, hard to see him getting shut out or not having a big weekend. He always does. And Smooth Like Straight for Whitey McCarthy.
Second one.
I'm a big fan. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And
late Distaff.
Yeah, Distaff. I'm Malathat. I heard your previous guest kind of saying he was a little bit suspect of her, but, you know, she's tough. I mean, world class. I mean, top class. And she's my top pick in there. With Clarier and Nest, and then the turf. I'd love to pick Channel Maker, but I think his best days are long gone. But he's a cool dude. But I'm picking maybe Mott's other filly, Warlike Goddess. I think, you know, the Europeans are obviously going to be super tough in there, and the classic. I'm picking Life Is Good in the classic.
Wow, all right.
I'm not picking the guy with the leaf blower. Can I say, make a comment? I think the leaf blower is the worst invention in the history of inventions.
Yes.
Second is the weed whacker. Two things I absolutely despise. I like my peace and serenity in Saratoga, and I'm not getting it here in Keeneland. I smell the gas. I can hear the leaves. And I got Jay Primman getting ready to, you know, trump me and show how smart he is compared to me and
Tom.
Somebody that I respect a lot. And we gave him a little honor last night. It was
big
great.
Big time. Yeah. You and Michael Blowen. Jay, come in here. Grab the mic. Tom Law, everybody. Saratoga TL.
Thanks. And you got me to my meeting like 9
exactly.
minutes early.
And there we go.
Thanks.
Tom.
You're
going to
be late.
Jay Primman joins us. And as Tom was alluding last night, I mean, you came out to honor your friends and colleagues. And you were as much an honoree as anybody last night.
Yeah, I'm having like the best retirement tour since Elton John's final concert tour.
He's got a street named
it's
after him.
It's been a lot of fun.
He showed up and they're naming a street after him.
It's been a good time.
That was a surprise, right? You didn't know anything about
that.
No,
I was completely caught off guard by the old friends' honor. By the way, I second Tom's thoughts on the leaf blower.
Well, just to know, the picture he just took, the leaves were flying up in the background just because of that.
Great.
Well, Jay, you're not covering this, and as I told you when we had your honorarium or valedictory upon retirement, your opinion in this event and on things like Breeders' Derby weekend has been really valuable, and you invariably have picked out horses that score in this event. How about a couple of thoughts, to start with, kind of overall.
I mean, I already did all my handicapping, so...
You ready to go?
Well, I have Saturdays overnight here. Fridays would help. Thanks, Hammer. But, yeah, you tell me what you want, and I'll tell you what I like.
Yeah, start with Friday and kind of waltz through.
Well, in the juvenile turf sprint, I like Oxymore on the turn back. I think there's a lot of pace. His two sprints are very good, and I think he'll come running late. So that's what I like in that race. Love Reigns is... probably the horse to beat, but I like Oxymore on the turn back there. The juvenile fillies race, I like Pletcher, but not Chocolate Gelato. I like the recent private purchase atomically.
That's who I picked.
Can I change?
Yep.
Okay.
You can.
I'm going to change.
What appealed to you? I'm curious if it's just.
I
different.
Like her two turns experience already, and she's going to be a significantly higher price than her stablemate, and I don't think she's that far off of her, and I think she's going to, you know. In these races, I think two-turn experience is invaluable.
I agree.
In these juvenile filly and juvenile dirt races, so that's what I like there. The filly grass race, I chalked out. I took Meditate for Aidan O'Brien. She just looks like her form over there is terrific. The juvenile, I prefer Cave Rock. I'm not going to gamble on him. He's going to be an odds-on horse, and I'm just not interested. So I'm going to play the board there. In terms of the sequential wagers, I'm not sure what I'm going to do because I don't like playing sequential wagers where I think there's a 4-5 that's the most likely winner. So I'm going to see how the track plays early on. If I see a way where maybe Cave Rock can be vulnerable through either pace or elsewhere, then I might dive in and try and beat him. And then the juvenile turf grass race, I like Paxawalop. I think he is a really good horse that for Jeff Mullins. I loved, he just passed the eye test for me when he won the race at Santa Anita. I think he's a top quality horse, and I love where he drew.
Jay Pertman joining us. That's the Friday lineup. Saturday's Fields.
Philly and Mare Sprint, I think the most likely winner of the 2 days is Goodnight Olive. I just think she's in terrific form right now, and I'm going to, she could be an early make or break kind of horse for me on. There's a pick five that starts there, and she will get the bulk of my capital. I just think she's in great form and
gets a setup too, right?
She's going to get a great trip. I think she's, for me, she's about the most likely winner of the weekend.
Interesting.
The turf sprint, I mean, obviously Golden Pal's the horse to beat, but here one of my two weekend bombers is in this race. I'm going to gamble on Artemis City Limits, who's going to be like 50-1.
Yep.
There was not a whole lot of speed in this race, and Golden Pal sometimes doesn't break, and this horse is drawn outside. He's going to break. He's going to be 15 times the price of Golden Pal. Hopefully he can beat him. I'll protect with him underneath. But I think he's a great gamble at the price.
He got hot. He's been hot. He's been consistent. He had a great second
half
of the year.
Over the course here chasing him last time.
Yep.
So he's a horse I don't have a good feel for the dirt mile. I think Laurel River's the most likely winner, but I'm going to spread in here. I think Gunite, I loved his race over the track, and there's no reason why he shouldn't stretch out. There's several others in here who are capable of winning. I'm dubious on Cody's Wish. I know he's going to be the favorite in here. I'm not sure he's as good going two turns as he is one.
Interesting.
So he's not a horse. I might use him, but not
defensively.
Defensively. I think he's vulnerable here. Affiliate Mare Turf, this is another horse who I think is chalk, but a very likely winner in the category of a Goodnight Olive. I think Nashua is absolutely the right horse here for Gosden. Her form overseas is terrific, and I just think she beats these horses. She's better than the ones in here. I know I'll tell you a horse that is getting a lot of love that I don't see it is Moira. I don't get it. I thought the race that she was in last time was a low-rated race. I don't think Rogier is anywhere close to the best horses of this division. And Trouble in a you talk about trips and traps that Andy does. Trouble in a bad race is a trap. And she's going to take money. So to me, she's a takeout. Reducer.
Yeah. I hear you. I've been surprised by her mentions as well.
Yeah, no, and if she wins, she beats me. The sprint, it's obviously Jackie's Warriors race to lose. There's just absolutely no other pace in here. I'm going to try and get Willie Boy underneath in the exacta.
I brought him up.
Let me change there. But that's, I'm going to do a cold punch 9-10. Single Jackie's Warrior, I guess. It's another situation where, like, sequential wagers, I probably won't even start a pick five. It's weird. It's like you want to start and end a pick five with odds on horses. I don't. So it's just, it's a tough sequence there in terms of my wanting to be involved. Here's the other, the mile grass race is my other weekend bomber. I'm going to gamble on Pogo from the rail. His European form is not far off these. He drew really, really well. There's some horses in here who I don't think are as good as their reputation is. Obviously, Annapolis is a nice horse, but I think the horses Pogo's run against in Europe are better than what Annapolis has been facing. You know, certainly Modern Games in the U.S. is a lot better than the Modern Games in Europe, and he's going to take some beating. It's the first time you can gamble on him in the Breeders' Cup ever, so for those who want to gamble on him, you get a chance this year. But I think Pogo's good value. He's a horse. He falls into the Artemis City Limits category for me. It was a bomber with a chance. Distaff is as good a race as you could find. I prefer Nest, but she's going to probably be the favorite. But I like improving three-year-olds in this race that are of that class. And I was hoping she might be the third choice, but she's not going to be, apparently. You know, Nick is a great winemaker, and I prefer her. I might fool around a little bit with Society because I think she can clear search results. And if she does, she's going to be tough to beat. So those are the two I'm most interested in, and they're both improving three-year-olds who, this time of year, look, I have great respect for Malathat, Clarier. This is a hell of a race. It really is.
Yeah.
The turf, this is, to me, as weak a turf field as we've had in the Breeders' Cup. It's not a good group of horses. I prefer Rebel's Romance, but I'm slightly curious about the riding assignments. I don't know what to make of Buick riding Nation's Pride instead of Rebel's Romance, because on paper Rebel's Romance looks better than Nation's Pride. So I don't have a good feel for this race. Warlike Goddess is going to run well in here, but you've got a lot of horses here to me who are not this good or are well past their sell-by date, like Channel Maker and Mishriff. I think they're on the other side of midnight, as Gary Young likes to say. And the classic is, there's no great shakes here. It's, it's Flightline's race to lose. So, there you have it.
There it is.
We got to pay tribute to Jay's lid here.
The Humboldt County Fair.
Humboldt County Fair.
It's one of your favorites.
It's a great place. I figured I'd be the only person walking around here with a Humboldt County Fair.
Right. And if they didn't have the track there, the Humboldt County was famous for other things many years ago. And actually probably still is. But,
yeah, I'm sure it's very much famous for that.
Ferndale. Anybody that's around, when do they run, Jay? In August?
Yeah, they run for a couple weeks in August.
Anybody that's up in Northern California there, it's a magical town, and it's a great little spot to go.
So, Jay Pribman, thank you for having me on for my for the lightning round. The Turf Riders have a meeting now. I'm going to head off to, but appreciate you squeezing me in.
No, I appreciate. I saw you walk by. I said, "Come on."
Hopefully, we'll cash some tickets.
I have every confidence you will, and there we go. And here's somebody. Come here. You get over here. I was going to call you anyway. Jay Pribman, everybody, and there's some insight. And boy, Jay, counting on James Doyle for a couple of spots for both Rebel's Romance. And it's funny Jay brought that up about the riding assignments, because I saw that too last night when I was going over the turf, and I said the same exact thing. Why is Buick there and not here? Because the Nation's Pride seems just,
I've learned long ago to not let that bother me too much.
Yeah,
you just don't
know
the way
they operate.
Things happen, seeing so many draws, and when guys get named on left and right, I just let it go, especially in these big races. Ken Kirshner is here. Rock Concert. We're going to get a rundown. No, Kenny's here. We worked for the Breeders' Cup for many, many years. Set the tone for a lot of the betting, the wagers, the way they're set, and how everything worked, and good to hear get a little background on that.
Well, and we'll get some opinions. And, of course, the conversation that everybody harkens back to, it was at Churchill Downs because we were out on the sixth floor. And I asked Ken what his approach to Breeders' Cup was and how he bet it. And he introduced to me and to everybody that listens to the reverse tri-key concept. Kenny was the first person to say there's 30-to-1 shots that come clunking up in this race, in this event, on a regular basis. What I do is I take 3, 4, 5 horses in the first two slots, and I take a bomb third, and I reverse try key. 5 by 4 by 1, 6 by 5 by 1, that's a $15 ticket. And if you get that 30, 40, 50-to-1 shot to clunk up the way you like, Bob's your uncle. And Kenny, that became a mantra on this show.
Can you get him a T-shirt?
Yeah, why not?
Reverse try key.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a fun way. It's a way to have fun with the races where you don't invest a lot of money. Little investment, big return. Hammer Nose down at Kentucky Downs, it happens all the time. Breeders' Cup, it happens all the time. The very first opening day at Kentucky Downs, I caught an $1,800 try on a 50-cent ticket on a 5x4x1. And Jim Goodman sitting there with me saying, how the hell did you do that? You know, and it's just a fun way to play the races without making a big investment. And, I enjoy that, you know, along with playing, of course, every other bet that is out there that I happen to be addicted to.
Well, and to give everybody a feel for this, you could bet all 14 Breeders' Cup races if you went 4x3x1 for a dollar. Obviously, it's a $12 play. For 50 cents, it's $6. So 6 times 14, $84. If you've got $100 to spend for the weekend and you want to have some fun, there's a play for you right there. 5x4x1 is $20 each for a buck, or $10 each. $140 budget has got you action in every single race. Same, you know, 6x5x1. You can do this so simply, and you know, you say to yourself, well, I don't have a lot of money, and, you know, I'm going to watch everybody put their tickets on Twitter, and it's not going to be any fun for me. Well, you got $84. There's fun, some fun.
And you bring up a good point, and when you do something like that, before the first race does, you go do it. For every race, get it all done, and then go play your normal stuff. And next thing you know, you got a ticket here, you got a ticket there that you've already put in, and you don't say, "Oh, I wish I would have done it on this race."
Well, if you hit one on Friday, you just who knows what you've just done to the bankroll.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's a fun way to do it, and you know, obviously, everybody focuses on the pick fours, pick fives, pick sixes, and they're great, but realizing they're a big investment. There, you know, you can't go into playing pick fours, pick fives, and pick sixes without making a substantial investment. So being able to, for the little guy, just throwing some money at it and having some fun, you know, and actually you'd be surprised how often you can get really good coverage on a 5x4x1.
And I want to add again, because I mentioned this morning I use this wager calculator, and I only use it on the big days. Go out and go online and order one of these things for your phone, and you can see how inexpensive. That's what I was amazed at. When you punch on all these things, it's like, wow, that's for 50 cents, or
right.
It's not that much for like superfectas. I'm not a superfecta guy, but I just punched in a couple, you know, we talked about earlier. I mean, I can do 1, 2, 3 over 6 horses for 50 cents for $90. Mm-hmm. And when you see one of those races that you know there's going to be some bombs in there, it's not a $300 outlay. It's not much. And you can do the 10 cent super for, you know, what?
A fraction
of that. So
I mean, when we start, you know, when I started with Breeders' Cup back in 96, you know, there were still $5 exactas. You did not have trifectas on every race. You didn't have any superfectas. You might have had some doubles, but not rolling or rolling pick threes or anything.
There might have been two of them on each
And within
card.
3 years, we had instituted basically the modern betting menu, which included all of the superfectas and trifectas, rolling pick threes, added the pick four in the year 2000, and then the pick fives came along later. But, you know, that whole modern betting menu, you know, I think we had a big role in that at Breeders' Cup because the rest of the country tended to follow what Breeders' Cup did with our betting menus.
And I could remember sitting around a table with you many times at Santa Anita about they were, you know, kind of trying to pick the order. I said, whoa, let's, you know, I know we're the classics last, and we know the turf's going to be next to last, but let's kind of wait and see how that other, all those other races fit in. And that was during the pick six heyday in Southern California.
Exactly, when we were still having $5 million guarantees on the pick
and
six.
And race order meant
was important.
Was very important. And you know, Ken was able, we were able to talk him into saying, you know, just wait a little bit. And they'll switch the, you know, even some of them switched days, they weren't sure where they were going
to
go.
Yeah. So that's exactly right.
Ken was a big pusher in, you know, in expanding the wagering opportunities. I don't know whether to thank him or not, because we all, there's so many.
Well, Steve Crist one year wrote in his column, he called me the Marquis de Sade for the six races that I put into the pick six that year for the $5 million guarantee. So I took a little heat from Steve on that year, but it was a lot of fun.
If nobody's complaining, you're not doing the right thing.
Yeah, there you go. Kenny, were you surprised? You know, there's been some things that didn't catch a wave, including head-to-head. The head-to-head wagers are not there. There's It's funny. It's a bad year for two-day wagers. You know, certainly when you've got a flight line and a Cave Rock, and you're hooking the Juvenile and the Classic. Even the Juvenile Fillies with the Distaff is not terrible, because the Juvenile Fillies seems to me a little interesting. And I guess the Juvenile Turf and the Turf is okay. I'm a little surprised there wasn't a bigger two-day multi-race wager. Maybe the two Juvenile Turf races, or hooked up with the sprints. How about the turf sprint? The two turf sprints.
You get into looking at all of those two-day combinations, and it becomes burdensome in some ways, because getting the word out is very difficult on those type of wagers. It's inside baseball in many regards. The general public doesn't know it. Those of us on the inside that are paying really close attention, we know there's a turf pick three or a two-day daily double, things like that. It's tough getting that through the general public. Same with the head-to-head. I still think head-to-head has an opportunity. It just has to be fixed odds.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. There's like some tremendous, we think, head-to-head.
Or a 5% takeout. If you went to a 5% takeout, you could make head-to-head work on a parimutuel side. But otherwise, you've got to go to a fixed odds situation where you can actually lay one horse at 2-1 and know it's going to stay 2-1, and the other horse at 3-5. So you could work it that way. We tried two horse head-to-head. We went to three horse head-to-head to try to mix it up a bit. But that takeout at 14% or 15% that we were using is just too much within that parimutuel system to do a head-to-head bet. So you really need to look at fixed odds, and hopefully we'll be moving in that direction as an industry over the next few years with at least some of these proposition bets to allow us to do that.
You mentioned the getting the word out. Well, they have a turf pick four this year, the races 4, 6, 8, and 10, and I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about it. Is the minimum the same on that, or is that?
No, it's $3 on Friday and 50 cents on Saturday.
Okay. I do like the increased minimum.
That's been a big success here, it's been selectively picked up around the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it is, if you don't know about it, and everybody doesn't know about it, the pool's not where it's supposed to
be. The first you're going to see it is on the program the day of. It's too late to get a lot of bets in that way. So, but yeah, I think we're excited about the opportunities this weekend. I mean, there's no doubt that we've all got opinions. And
let's hear some. That's what we're here for.
And you don't love it. You just walk by, and it's not like, oh, by the way, I happen to have all my forms in my back pocket, because like we all do, and it's not like, I don't have anything.
Well,
I'm not ready.
I mean, when was the last time you ever saw a two-year-old come into a race that had already beaten older horses? That's unheard of.
Other than
at the Breeders' Cup.
Only the Breeders' Cup, because of the two-year-olds in Europe.
In this country.
Yeah, I mean, Wesley did it with... who was it that he went over to France and won with? the two-year-old a couple of years ago.
Oh, you're taxing my memory there.
Yeah, I said, who can, with all these horses.
But, yeah, I mean, I really think that Ivar has a big shot in the mile. That's one of my price plays. Hopefully I can get a 6-1 morning line. I hope I can get 8, 9, 10-1 even with all the attention going on the Europeans and some of the other horses. So that's a big play for me. I love the race that he ran against Annapolis and then against Modern Games. I just see that as setting him up perfectly to hopefully this course. He likes this course, so I see that as one of my prime plays of the weekend.
Paulo Lobo, to me, that was one of the strange. He's got really kind of the strangest career arc, where he you know, came into American focus with Farda Amiga, and then essentially, you know, disappeared for an extended period, and you know, is back in force essentially, and I think is just a really outstanding horseman. I look three times at everything Lobo sends out.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to that race, the turf mile that was held here at Keeneland, it was loaded. It was one of the, when all the stuff comes out and we look at the graded stake material, that's going to be one of the highest ranked, you know, non-Breeders' Cup type races. Mm-hmm. I think there was 7 Grade 1 horses that were in that race.
It was very strong.
So horses that come out of that race, they earned their keep. So,
right.
So, like you said, 15-1, that's a nice number on a horse that showed his liking for this course here and so recently.
And, you know, I like CeCe in the Philly Mare Sprint. It's a defending champion, and...
Nobody's
paying any attention to this.
She ran the exact 3 races that she did last year to get to this spot. Nobody's mentioned her. She's 4-1. You know, if she drifts up to 4.1-1, I think I'd like her. Ben, you know, Michael McCarthy, he knows what to do when the money's down, and like Steve said, nobody's mentioned at all. I'm fine with that. Way under the radar.
Absolutely. And I don't see a real standout in that race anyway. So I think that she's got a big chance. You know, there's just so many opportunities, you know, with Jack Christopher out and things like that, that race there. I think that there's places to go there that are going to bring a price.
I think Friday is ripe for some big numbers to come up.
I ended up trying to, you know, try to at least get some different horses in, you know, even if they were just middle priced 6-to-8-to-1 types.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and more or less I didn't shunt the favorites, you know, out of the picture, but I did, like a Silver Knot, for instance. You know, I ended up picking And the Winner Is and put Silver Knot second.
Yeah.
You know, Cave Rock, I certainly respect. How about Pleasant Passage at 12-1 for Shug? And I put Free Look for Chad second at 5-1 and Be Your Best and Meditate, you know, underneath the Pleasant Passage. I ended up finding Atomically that, interestingly, Jay Pribman landed on as well for Todd in that Juvenile Fillies. Chop Chop 4-1, Chocolate Gelato 7-2. You know, I acknowledge that the logicals are logical, but there's just too many attractive horses at a prices that, you know, this is why we love this event, not to just completely give in to, you know, the obvious potential winner.
Right. And you know, the beauty is if you want to single somebody, you can then go deep in that other leg of the pick 3 or the pick 4 so that you have that coverage where you can get that 15-1 or 20-1 shot that may get up and get it done. You know, and of course we're at Keeneland, so you have to consider what's going to happen on the track, track bias, and whether or not there's a speed favoring like there was, you know, in 2015 or some other years where you've seen speed play very well here at Keeneland.
Well, last 2020, there were some, like I said, the first race was a sprint. Nashville won it in 7 and change. Gamine ran 7 and change that day. some very fast internal fractions on the dirt. So you want to pay attention to some of those earlier races as the card moves along.
Mm-hmm.
There's a call for some moisture maybe in the air now. It came out of nowhere.
Not that I see from a Dark Sky. Yeah. Dark Sky's got a 30-something percent chance, and none of it high percentage during the afternoon. So, it's volatile. Anybody that comes here knows that it's fast moving.
And then you have to look at the turf course. And, they've had to rail out. So the inside of that turf course is pretty pristine, whereas they just went through a whole meet running on the 15-foot and out.
With clods
right, flying. And you can see, we haven't had much rain. You saw even just a couple of the horses working this morning. They were kicking pretty good dust and dirt. So it's pretty dry out there. We'll see how the inside of that racetrack, which has been unused, we're going to see if that actually is a benefit to some of these. Or certainly on the tight turns, it usually is, but we're going to find out. And that's another issue or a factor to take into your handicapping.
So let me ask you here, what rider do you think is going to have a super, super 2 days?
Irad Ortiz, Joel Rosario. I'll do that work tonight. Actually, I always, one of my favorite angles, and I haven't brought it up all week yet, is what I refer to as the lone gunman, a jock that has one mount in either day or both days, somebody that is here for one horse and doesn't have to worry. It is focused on just that mount.
Yeah. Mike Smith.
I talked to that guy this morning, Joey Bravo. I saw Joey earlier.
Papa Petromo.
He's got one mount.
American Theorem.
And he said he really likes the horse.
There you go. There you go.
But he's here for one mount. So you have that. The other, I think Castellano, who has had a really good
He's back
in New York.
He's back. He's 100% back.
You know, with the change of jock agents for him, I think he's riding really well right now. Certainly Irad. I think Ryan Moore on the European side could be very dangerous on a number of mounts.
He could do okay.
Right?
Well, William Buick for all the Applebees. I mean, it's the equation is pretty... it's pretty clear. The ones that are well mounted. I usually get to that earlier in the week when I do all the, but it gets tougher and tougher every year.
We know sometimes when you go through the things and you end up liking this, oh, it's the same rider next one, same rider next. Oh, geez, and the same rider just seems to always pop up. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, as the different horses that you were liking always had a different rider, and that's what hit me. Like, who's your hot jock coming in? But someone's gonna, someone's gonna take that title and roll with it.
Yes, Willie Boy, Chantel Sutherland. That's her only mount.
Ah.
What about Mike Smith? Is he just riding the one?
No, he's got a few. Yeah, he's got a couple. He's got a couple. I think Dylan Davis has just the one mount.
He may. Yeah.
He's got the juvenile turf mount with Web Slinger with Cassie. Who's gonna be an outsider. You mentioned Smith. Let's take a look at Mike's mount. Here we go. Mike E. There we go. Mike E. Smith, as opposed to Mike X. Smith. The two Mike Smiths. He's got one each day. He's got Paxel Wallop on Friday, and he's got Taba on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Two very solid mounts on the 2 days, no doubt. To give you an idea about Joel, for instance, because we usually get a chance to talk to Ron Anderson early in the week. We did not see Ron yet this week. Here is Joel's mounts. He's got Private Creed in the juvenile turf sprint, Chop Chop in the juvenile fillies, Cairo Consort in the juvenile fillies turf, Verifying for Cox in the boys juvenile, and the winner is for Wayne Cat in the juvenile turf. Then on Saturday, Lady Rocket in the filly and mare sprint, Dancing Buck, who's an AE on the turf sprint, in Italian for the filly and mare turf, Jackie's Warrior, of course, Clarier, of course, Warlike Goddess, of course, and Epicenter, Joel Rosario, nicely mounted. There
wow,
you go.
That's a nice lineup,
that's
right?
Not, I like to be sitting on those, too.
The
One more opinion, Ken. One more to go with Ivar.
One more.
How about a Friday? Give us a Friday.
A Friday. Let me see here.
It starts there.
Yeah.
And then just there.
Refresh my. Bump up, 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 up.
Gonna also.
Go ahead.
Reach for our man Dave Hill too, and get some opinions from Dave. He's looking forward to.
I was a little intrigued with Mike Maker's horse, really good.
Yes.
In the juvenile turf, a little bit of a price. Ran a couple of decent races. Has not won since a maiden, but I thought that it didn't run badly in either of the last two races. And I think it was 12 to 1 or something like that.
And, of course, won at 30 to 1 with Fire at Will 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. No. So, yeah, if I, you know, and there's, that's certainly one that I might look at.
That's a fun price, absolutely. That's what we were looking for.
Prices.
All right, I'm putting you down for Ivar and really good. And it's always a really good to have Ken Kirtner join us. Kenny, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Hammer, always. Great to see you again, my friend.
Always a pleasure.
Really good to work with this guy at Kentucky Downs.
No doubt. And
right back at you, Ken. We've worked together for many years.
Yes, we
have. Doing a lot of things.
Thanks, Ken. That was a perfect opportunity because, as we've explained, so many times about how Ken was the one who clued us in, and that was one of the best. I asked certain questions at certain times. That was about as opportune a question that day when I asked Kenny, "How do you play the Breeders' Cup?" Let's ask the same question of Dave Hill. Dave Hill, good morning. Let me try that again. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning,
Dave. We will hit a quick NFL comment or two in a minute. But how do you play the Breeders' Cup over the years?
How do I play the weekend? How do I play I try to pace myself. It's so many races, and my goal is to try to not dig too deep a hole for myself before I get to the good stuff on Saturday.
Well,
so pace myself and budget wisely.
And we haven't said that as often as we usually do every year, which is, keep your powder dry, as they say, and make sure when you get to that late pick five, the races that you're looking forward to most, make sure you've got the lion's share of your bankroll, 70%, 80 of it sequestered and kept in. I used to keep it in the back pocket, or when I would win early, I would siphon money off and put it away or give it to a girlfriend to hold. That which is very effective, because when you say when you ask them to give it back, they don't.
Well, my version of that is that I try to bet a lot more horizontals, and then as long as I'm alive, I try to hold off on betting the race if I've got a few horizontals that are alive in that race, and that usually helps me not blow as much money over the course of a weekend as I usually want to blow.
Out of curiosity, what do you peel off for this weekend?
How much will I be, what's my bankroll going to be for the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, ballpark. You don't have to, I'm not going to.
If I lose $500, I'm going to stop.
All right. That's, there you go. There it is. How does that compare, Dave, to, any other weekend? If you're following the Oaklawn season, how does that compare to your weekday bankroll or your.
Usually I try, if I lose $200 in a day, I'm going to stop. But that's, but I tell myself that, but I've had plenty of days where I've lost $600-$800 in a day, even though I told myself I'd stop at two. So, do as I say, not as I do.
I love it. Well, and how about a couple of thoughts, some horses that you've been tracking and you're going to play with, this weekend?
Well, the first horse I will commit myself to is Cyberknife and the Dirt Mile, just because it's not just because Cyberknife won the Arkansas Derby and I'm being an Oakland homer here. I think that this is a good race for this horse. And I feel like Cyberknife's done well since, you know, the Kentucky Derby. So I'm excited to see this horse get in the winner's circle again on a big day.
You bring up Cyberknife, and he hasn't been talked about enough this week. I will mention, I don't know if we're going to have a chance to talk to John Nichols from Churchill, but John said he's done absolutely terrific, you know, since the Pennsylvania Derby, and that he's been one of the workout stars at Churchill, pointing for this. So certainly come in. That's an encouraging way to come in.
Yeah, I think this is a good race for him, and I think it's going to be his day. I'm excited for that one, so I'm going to be betting on Cyberknife. You know, another horse that I am a big fan of is sorry, I'm getting a little distracted. I like I've got a long shot pick. Well, I don't know how long it'll be when the race comes around, but in turf sprint, you know, I like Golden Pal like everybody else in the world, but I like 11 Casa Creed as an interesting long shot, so I'm going to try to bet some exotics with those two. I think Casa Creed is an interesting proposition in that particular race. It seems like Golden Pal's unbeatable, maybe, but it's such a wide field, big field, and, you know, Casa Creed's just got, like, the races that Casa Creed has been winning coming into this just seems so much nicer. These, you know, the four-star Dave, I mean, I think that this is the right distance for that horse, and I think that's the horse that may upset the apple cart for Golden Pal.
We're certainly mammoth fans. Our friend Lee Einsiedler, and after wavering between the mile and the turf sprint, you know, they had entrees to either, and you know, he's going to need pace, but he definitely is has essentially shown himself to be ideally suited for the one run approach, and so why not? I'd be very happy for Casa Creed to win the turf sprint.
And one bet that I'm going to make, and I'm going to say it on the air just so that I, you know, if it pays off for me, you know, I can brag about it later. But I'm going to bet on Channel Maker in the turf.
Wow.
It's going to be a huge bomb. It's going to be a big long shot, but I just love this horse, and I've always loved this horse. I bet on Channel Maker every chance that I get to bet. So I'm just sort of putting it out there now so that people won't accuse me of breadboarding later, that if Channel Maker pulls off some sort of stunning victory, that I can say, I told you on Steve's show to be on that horse.
I love it. Well, it's as big a weekend as Mott appears, you know, able to have. Channel Maker would be the surprise, and of course he would be the other Mott,
right,
because he's got Warlike Goddess poised in there as well. So
right,
nice. Right. Cyberknife, Casa, and Channel Maker.
Yeah, and then I don't have a pick for the Classic. I think it's such an interesting race, and I think Flightline can be beat, but I'm just not sure who to, you know, who I want to bet on to be. I mean, I think Epicenter is a good candidate, but I don't think that this is necessarily you know, that Flightline should be whatever 3-5 or whatever he is right now. I think Flightline, you know, should be the favorite, but some of these, there's some real talent in that race, and I don't think we're going to see an 11 length victory in the Classic.
Well, I was last night, and I'm sure that Twitter algorithms, you know, offer you things that, you know, that are in your wheelhouse, but I was amused, and the minute I saw Secretariat was trending, locally, and I don't know if locally means, you know, Kentucky or what, but I started to laugh, and I said, well, this is clearly, you know, equating flight line with Secretariat, and that's largely what it was, but it wasn't just that. There was actually, there's a mural. There's a mural in town somewhere in Lexington, that a beautiful mural somebody did on the side of a brick building of Secretariat. That was part of the tweet storm involving Big Red. It's kind of funny.
Mm, wow. I'd like to see that. Yeah,
I'll dig it up. All right, Dave, I like it. Cyberknife, Castle Creed, Channel Maker. Are there any other horses whose names start with C that you want to include?
You know, I didn't notice that before, but. But there are a bunch of good. I got a lot of horses right here, see, like Chocolate Gelato, but Chain of Love, the Japanese horse, in the Philly Mare Sprint starts with C, and I'm very interested in that horse, and I'm probably going to bet a little money on Chain of Love. So I guess maybe that's an interesting trend in my handicapping that was happening subconsciously and that you picked up on there.
well, the Japanese horse, I mean, and again, there's going to be people that are going to bet the Japanese entrant just because of last year's, you know, spate of success. But she's a world traveler. She's a hard hitter. And something that Mike Welch tweeted this morning about her two-minute lick that I really liked was, he said she had an internal quarter sub 24, and that caught my eye. And I was, you know, going to use her anyway as an interesting outsider. But if she's got some tactical speed to, you know, put in a run in a race which has got you know, plenty of front end speed, I think she's going to be worth it, and she's not going to be short at all. So, from an exotic standpoint, I'm with you. I think Chain of Love is very employable tomorrow, Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I use Equinedge, and Equinedge has got her at the top of the pile.
Wow.
And and I was watching Scotty's show yesterday, and Scotty was just disavowing it completely because he's all over Goodnight Olive. So he was saying, you know, that he's like, you know, the computer comes up with lots of stuff. But yeah, there's a couple that, you know, there's plenty of different algorithms with Equinedge, but Equinedge certainly likes Chain of Love for some reason in this field. But I like it for some reasons you said, it's just an interesting horse at a long price. So that's why I wrote Chain of Love down in my notes as well. It's just, we'll see what the price will be, but I'm definitely going to sprinkle something on it if I get 20 to one or higher.
There you go. I think you could. All right, Dave. I've mentioned to people touting your visit that you've now hit the even mark on the football front, 61-61, and that gives you the whole second half of the season essentially to, you know, to start to pile up the wins.
Yeah, I think my record is actually in the paper. I think my record is 61-61-1. I had one push, but yeah, it's like dead even at the halfway mark, which is, you know, I guess expectation, right? I'd like to do better than that, though. So, yeah, it's like going into halftime tied. We're going to reset the game.
Well, give everybody a couple of plays for the weekend.
I think there's a lot of value this week, interestingly enough. You know, last week was tough. And I had a losing week last week. But I lost. I was 7-8 or something like that, 6-7. It was a 6-7. I won. I lost one more than I won. But there was some heartbreak games, like Buffalo not covering by a half point, you know, that killed me. The Atlanta game just drove me crazy, as I'm sure it did everybody. But no matter what side of that game you were on, that game probably drove you nuts. But I think this week there's going to be some real value. I think that there's some better value this week than there was last week. There won't be as many tough sweats. But tonight, I'm taking the points with the Texans. We're getting 14 points, and I know this is the second worst team in the NFL right now, playing one of the best teams. You know, clearly it's going to be a lopsided affair, but I just don't think you can give up two touchdowns on the road to anybody except maybe the Colts right now. I know that Philadelphia easily covered against Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh kind of gave up in that game, and you know, Houston may give up too, but I just think that giving up two touchdowns for the Eagles to be giving up two touchdowns on the road right now feels like way too many points, and so I'm taking them. I think the Eagles win this game by like 8 to 10 points.
Fair enough. Short week too, of course. Part of the equation. Give us a rundown a few more, Dave.
I think another big a game that I feel very confident in is New England beating the brakes off of the Colts. And right now, they're only laying, Lord, some books have them at 5. They're laying 5 at some places, 6 at others. I think they'll cover that. I think they're going to win this game by at least a touchdown. So it's I think the Colts are down. We've downgraded the Colts to the last place, to the worst team in the league right now under this young quarterback. And they're struggling. And I think that this is a good spot for the Patriots. So I would comfortably lay the points at home with the Patriots.
There's a number of home dogs. The Jets getting a dozen. Washington getting 3.5. Detroit getting 3.5. Bears getting 5.5 after a dismal performance. 3.5 Atlanta at home against the Chargers. And then Monday night, New Orleans is getting 2.5 against the Ravens.
Yeah, you know, I'm nervous about this Chicago game because of the addition of Chubb to Miami's defense, you know, in the trade that they made this week. I think that's a huge upgrade for Miami, and I'm not sure if my power ratings took that into account. I still think that the number being 5.5 is too big, and I'm inclined to take the points there. I do think Chicago loses this game at home, but the value is probably in taking the points there. I think a bigger home dog that I feel good about is the Jets against Buffalo. Again, 13 points that they're laying on the road, similar to Philadelphia laying all these points on the road. You know, Buffalo they failed to cover against the Packers by half of a point. You know, Josh Allen had an off game, and an off game for him is still enough to win, and it'll be enough to win against the Jets. I think the Jets have a real issue in the quarterback position here. But look, Sauce Gardner pairing up with Diggs, I think that's going to be a tough matchup. They're going to force Buffalo to run a lot more. 13 is a lot of points, so I'm taking them there. And there's the two other games that I feel really good about. I feel really good about Tennessee taking all those points. It's just you see that what's happening this week is that there's such a reaction to these three best teams in the NFL. Undeniably, you know, the Kansas City, the Eagles, and the Bills, and they're laying these double-digit numbers, yeah, which I think are unwarranted. Tennessee their defense is just looking great. This quarterback is rough. He handed the ball off pretty much every play last week, but it was enough to win, and you know, I think they're going to need to do a little bit more against Kansas City, but since they're starting off with essentially a 12.5 point now in some places, they're starting out with a 12-point lead. I think Derrick Henry's going to eat this Kansas City defense up. They're a middle-of-the-pack team against the run. I'm taking those points. And then on Monday night, New Orleans, I like New Orleans against Baltimore as home underdogs getting 3 points. New Orleans looked fantastic against the Raiders.
Yeah.
They shut them out. They looked good the week before, even though they lost. They lost because there's some interceptions, some penalties, some stuff that was really kind of random, you know, balls getting tipped and turning into interceptions. But if you take that stuff away, you know, I wrote this in my column, Andy Dalton had a great game in that loss with, you know, 400-plus yards of offense. And I felt really good about them last week, and they covered for me pretty decently. And I feel good about them this week. I think this is a team that's really getting it together and clicking. As long as they can minimize things like penalties and interceptions and turnovers, which again are, you know, a little bit sort of the luck of the dice, if they can get that stuff under control, their team is playing the way that people thought they'd play at the beginning of the season. And right, I think that they're going to show up against the Ravens on Monday night.
There you go. Houston tonight, the Bears, New England, the Jets, and Tennessee on Sunday. And the Saints on Monday night.
Monday night.
Dave, thanks so much. Best of luck. There's no gamblers this week. The season's over, but I'm you managed to find things to do.
Yes, I do. I'm sure I'll have something for you guys to read soon enough, but let's go. Let's enjoy the Breeders' Cup this weekend. I'm excited about it. Happy Breeders' Cup Day, everybody.
Dave Hill, everybody. Dave Hill 77 on your Twitter. Dave, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve.
There you go, Dave Hill.
Since you mentioned the C's, so obviously, did he mention
CC? No, I almost brought up CC. That's funny to say that.
That's the one he left out, double C.
That is funny, because I was going to say the one C or the two C's you left out are CC. Well, we're going to get to Seth Merrow, and we ended up with a breakneck last hour here, which really the last second half, actually, and I want to get Seth's visit in. Seth providing, actually, Seth's write-up in the At the Races Breeders' Cup Betting Companion, brought to you by Form to Win and AmWager, and Seth did the Juvenile Turf Sprint and the Juvenile Fillies, and those opinions are right there for you at the guide. But then Seth can flesh out some other ideas with us right now. Seth Merrow, good morning.
Good morning. I've been listening. Very entertaining. Only the various opinions. I like when people agree with me. When they don't, I'm like, oh, now do I have to go deeper in that race? So yeah, it's been fun, really, the last few days.
I appreciate it, and appreciate the work you did putting in on the juvenile races for the Betting Companion. And Seth, I mean, the 2 days, pretty intense. I imagine, are you doing some TV, hosting?
Tomorrow, I'll be on all day, but, you know, other outlets around the country can't carry the Breeders' Cup races, but I'll be looking at other tracks and certainly commenting on the Breeders' Cup races as we go along. Saturday, I'll be in early and cover the first couple of races, and then I go out to the front half of the race book, and for 40 randomly selected patrons, I'll be playing $2,000 during the day.
Wow.
Hopefully trying to make that more than $2,000 by the end of the day for the 40 folks to split up. So, yeah, the Capital OTB promotion wagon is rolling on the week.
Well, that's pressure for you then.
No,
right?
He eats it up.
I know he does. You know, especially right out in front of everybody there. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's Hammer, you nailed it, because it's one thing to lose your own money, but when you have 40 people looking over your shoulder.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's fun.
You're supposed to do that on a Thursday or something when there's not that many people around. This is tough to do. And like you said, every time somebody comments on a horse, you can't say, oh, that doesn't make sense. You say, oh, what did I miss? Right? You got to go back, and now, you know, next thing you know, you're like six deep.
Exactly. Exactly right. Well, for those, you know, for those that have not yet read the guide, Seth picked Speedboat Beach in the Juvenile Turf Sprint, the Baffert, and Love Rains, who's come up pretty regularly, Private Creed, and those are my two top as well, Love Rains, and actually I put Private Creed on top because of the price. And then Oxymore ended up being kind of a late addition, and then for the Juvenile Fillies, Seth went 10-5, 7-14, Chocolate Gelato, Wonder Wheel, Chop Chop, Raging Sea. You can read his comments and see his plays at the Betting Companion. Seth, flesh out a few more opinions from Friday, and then we'll get some Saturday thoughts.
Well, you know, I'll mention in that the Juvenile Fillies, you guys had talked earlier about Atomically. I didn't know what to do with her, but she ran a second faster than the boys in that Florida Stallion on the same day. So Atomically scares me a little bit, but I didn't include that one. But moving on, in the Juvenile Filly Turf, I went with Pleasant Passage from Shug. I thought this one was a little bit interesting. The Europeans, looking at up, are two of the last 10, and you have to go back to 2012 and 2013 to get those. So I went with the Shug horse off the nice sub win in the Miss Grillo, 2-for-2 now, and I thought she was interesting. Going to use Free Look in there a little bit as well. And then I put Mediate down in the third spot. Over in the Juvenile, I went with Cave Rock, but but I have 4th-8 right underneath. I've liked 4th-8 throughout the career. I was in doing TV the day that 4th-8 won the maiden breaker. And I just thought, boy, looks fabulous, and kind of rebounded, obviously, off the disappointment in the Sanford in the last couple. Blazing Sevens is also interesting in there. And then in the finale on Saturday, the Juvenile Turf, I went 6-9-1-14. And I heard you guys mention earlier, I put the winner, and the winner is on top. I thought off the Bourbon victory over the course, I thought this horse was very interesting. Nagarok is underneath for me. I have Silver Knockdown in the 4th spot. Victoria Road is the European. I prefer it a little more. So I'm 6-9-1-14 in that Juvenile Turf.
Nice. All right. Morph into Saturday.
Saturday. Let me just turn my pages here because I was at the end of the day. Philly and Mayer Sprint. I didn't know what to do with Echo Zulu. I've liked her throughout the career. If she'd gotten a better post position, maybe. I just didn't know. I left her out. I went 5-8, 4-7. Frank's Rocket. I just thought coming in very good form. I'm going to tilt there. Hope the morning line holds up. I had CeCe, you guys were talking about that one earlier. I put her down in the third position. And Golden Olive, who that's what Pridman said was his most likely winner, right?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, good night, Olive.
I have her right in the mix, and then Obligatory. So in the Philly and Mary Sprint, 5-8-4-7. In the Turf Sprint, I went 8-7-11-4. I couldn't get past Golden Pal. But I do think Arrest Me Red is kind of the other Wesley Ward is interesting. I'm certainly rooting for Lee and Casa Creed. And I think Casa Creed is very live in here, going to the last two runnings of the Jiper, which I always think is a salty race in New York. They run at 6 furlongs. He's won both of the last two runnings of that. So I think he'll be okay at the trip. You know, maybe not optimum distance for him, but I think he's going to be okay. So, again, I have it 8-7-11-4, excuse me, in that Turf Sprint. The Dirt Mile. I'm surprised people are kind of against Cody's Wish as I'm listening to your guests. I think Cody's Wish looks pretty good in here. It looks pretty salty. The 4-go victory was certainly impressive, beating Jackie's Warrior. That said, boy, Gunite, I think, is very interesting. 3-year-olds have won 4 of the last 10. This is a nice, improving 3-year-old. I mean, you look at these last 4 races from Gunite, it just seems like he's really come to the forefront. I think he's tough. Then I put Cyberknife in. And Senior Buscador, I think, could be an intriguing player in there as well. I have him down at the bottom of my mix. Certainly be using him in some fashion. So Dirt Mile, 7, 5, 9, and 10. The Philly and Mayer Turf, I'm 3-11-4-10. You know, Nashua, 3-year-olds have won 4 of the last 6. All 4 of those were Europeans. And a couple of them recently have come out of that Prix de l'Opera as also rans. That's the case with Nashua. That's also the case with Above the Curve. I have those sitting in the top and the third spots for me. And they bookend in Italian, who I think has the potential to go out and steal the race.
Sure.
You know, you would hate to see it, or you don't expect to see it maybe in a Breeders' Cup, but I don't think it's out of the question. I went 3-11-4-10. The Sprint, I'm with pretty much everybody else here, 9-4-2-6. Jackie's Warrior on the sideline. Jack Christopher on the sideline, so Jackie's Warrior looks good. But American Theorem is interesting. You mentioned Joe Bravo on board. That'd be kind of a fun story. But comes in on 2 nice races at Del Mar, so I thought he was playable. Kamari certainly is intriguing with the record at the distance, 2 for 2 at the 6 furlongs. Elite Power in my mix as well, so 9-4-2-6. In the Breeders' Cup Mile, I have an 11-4-8-6. I liked Annapolis in that Turf Mile. I was in doing TV that day. You know, it's over the course, and stepped in against Older for the first time. He looked good. Albeit, I will readily admit, it was a great trip. Sitting on the rail, coming around the final turn, things kind of opened up. But when they opened up, he took off. That said, I went back and forth and back and forth with the post position. Will he get that kind of a trip on Saturday? I don't know. But that's the one where you weigh the cons against the price. And if I went against him because of the post position he won, and I, you know, it was $20, I'd kick myself. So Annapolis on top for me. Modern Games, Appleby and Buick won this race last year with the Space Blues. They come in with a horse going well. Regal Glory. And then Ivar. You guys have talked about that one.
A lot
I liked Ivar in the last couple of races. I've liked Ivar. And He was getting overlooked in the conversations a little bit going into the Woodbine Mile. Then he did take some action, got away a little bit more of a price last time behind Annapolis, but I thought it ran well. So he's playable for me, too. Now, all that said, as I mentioned, listening to the folks talking over the past couple of days, I may have to take an extra look at Pogo in here, but I have it in the mile 11, 4, 8, and 6. In the distaff, I went back and forth. I really like Nest. Obviously, you know, a little bit of a homer with Saratoga performances, and those always step out to me. And the coaching club, American Oaks in the Alabama, and then stepped in against Holder and won the Beldame. I like Nest, but I've really liked Clairier throughout the career. And so I have a 4, 6, 1, and 7. And I think for folks who, you know, weren't at Saratoga that day or weren't watching or weren't familiar with the situation, you know, the personal engine, you draw a line right through it. Had trouble right at the start and was said to have, you know, bitter tongue or whatever it was. But I'm going to go back to Clairier over Nest and Malafat in the third spot. Search results. But I think this is a really fun competitive race. So again, for me, 4, 6, 1, and 7. Breeders' Cup Turf, I have it 13, 7, 5, and 2. I'm going to take a little pop with Highland Chief. Graham Motion, he's been hot over the past couple of weeks, including a stakes win at Keeneland. I came up with stats before yesterday. I don't know if anything changed around the country yesterday, but he had been 4 winners, 3 seconds in his last 10 starts coming into yesterday. And as they say, one of those was a Keeneland Stakes race. And it might have been Highland Chief even, but I think that was a little before the last 10. But Highland Chief comes out of the nice win at Keeneland. I'm going to take a shot there at a price. I'm using Nation's Pride. Three-year-olds have won 3 of the last 10. They were all Europeans, and Europeans have won overall outside of the three-year-old ranks as well, 7 of the last 10. So Nation's Pride in the mix, and then Rebel's Romance down in the third spot. I used Warlike Goddess. We'll see. I wasn't totally enamored with her, but just off that last effort, I have it 13, 7, 5, and 2, and then I don't want to bury the lead because in the Breeders' Cup Classic, I'm 6, 4, 7, and 2. I'm going to go with Epicenter. I'm looking for the upset in the Classic. Obviously, on all the horizontals, I will use Flightline. You have to use Flightline. If Flightline wins, I'm just going to step back and applaud. But I'm just wondering, you know, we know he can go the mile and a quarter. We know he can do very well with that 126 buyer. And Country Grammar legitimate, having won the Dubai World Cup. But this is a salty field, particularly with Life is Good, who is also going to want the front. I just wonder if there'll be a little bit of a duel up there. Now, there may be, and Flightline still may look back and laugh and say, yeah, nice try. But I thought Epicenter, maybe if you look at the Jim Dean and the Travers, might be able to kind of sit and stalk a little bit and pounce at the end. So I'm going to take a shot at maybe a little bit of an upset here with Epicenter over Flightline. 6, 4, 7, and 2 for me.
Seth, tremendous job. Outstanding. I appreciate it, and I've got it jotted down. Are you putting out a one sheet kind of thing for the
Capital OTB? If you go to the website and click on the handicapping link, there'll be a one sheet on Friday with Friday's picks and then Saturday's picks. I'll also put out picks with analysis on Equidaily as well.
Outstanding.
Quick question. Of all the 14 races, which one of those would you take those 4 picks and go, ugh, not real sure? Which is your most uncertain race?
Uncertain race. Maybe the distaff. I mean, my 4 picks, I the winner's maybe somewhere in there, but I could juggle them up in any fashion in that distaff probably.
Okay, I was just curious.
Well, Seth, best of luck. And are we doing anything Sunday?
Yeah, if you're available, we'll boots on the ground you.
Boots on the ground, baby. I love it. Seth Merrow, everybody. Seth Merrow, too, on your Twitter, Capital OTB and Equidaily.com. And there we go. That's it. And this was a very full 3 hours. Tomorrow will be more of the same. In fact, it'll be maybe twice as much of more of the same, including all the DRF correspondents. Thanks to James Stully and to Vance Hansen, Tom Law, Jay Fridman, Kenny Kirkner, Dave Hill, Seth Merrow, and Hammer for the co-piloting. And have the Casey will have the archive and pod out as soon as things load up. And we're back with you tomorrow for Friday at Breeders' Cup, day one. Future Stars Friday. And hopefully all of you are going to be future stars on the handicapping front and the ticket-punching front. Good luck today if you're playing. I didn't hear if Churchill was going to run that grass race or not, but we'll be back with you tomorrow, 9 o'clock from Keeneland. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're